Hi, I'm Maya Garantz.
And I'm Rebecca Cohen.
And this is The Sauce, the culture and politics podcast where we drink cocktails and ruin the things you love. So this week, as we're leading up to Christmas, we're not going to get like so into it. But given that we ruin stuff that you love, we thought that we would just have a little mini episode where we just ruin Christmas.
Let's ruin Christmas. You know what? People say there's a war on Christmas, and
right here,
I'm ready to enlist.
We're going to win, okay?
Yeah, we don't half-ass this shit. We are going to defeat Christmas right here, right now.
Now, you might be saying, are you guys soldiers in the war on Christmas because you're Jews? And we'd say yes. And then also you'd say, okay, well, is that just because you were bitter and resentful that you didn't get a half Christmas when you were growing up? And we'd say, yeah, maybe. Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's like more than half of why. Let's.
You know, my own child, I have a 7-year-old, and this is the first year where he was like, I want a Christmas tree.
Aww.
And I'm like, we don't have Christmas trees.
We don't do that.
Because we are not Christian. We don't do that.
We hate all things beautiful and fanciful and full of life and love. We're Jews.
Jews don't get to have sparkly lights in the window.
Come on. What's a menorah? It's sparkly lights in the window, okay? We originated that shit. That's all.
Okay, but
you don't get the ripoff thing. You get the original.
But I want him to have the bitterness that,
I feel like it builds character. It builds character.
Of course it does.
So
of course it does.
When you were growing up, did you want a Christmas tree?
Well, I had this friend, my best friend, who was like the super whitest, Americanist, goyest family ever. Mm-hmm. And they had a Christmas tree every year. And so every year I really enjoyed like being with them when they trimmed the tree and smelling it and sort of lying there and like under the Christmas lights. And so I got enough of it to be cool with it.
That's lucky, actually. We were straight up Hanukkah in my house. But I mean, we had a wonderful Hanukkah. My parents would get us one present for every night, so we'd have 8 wrapped gifts.
That is so American Jew.
Oh,
that is such
totally.
Straight up. I had Israeli parents. We didn't do that shit. There were no presents.
They would put them in a pile, and then each night you got to pick which gift you wanted to unwrap. I mean, for a few years they did that, and then it kind of like petered out, and it sort of became like they like came home with something they bought, and were like, here's your Hanukkah gift or whatever. But you know, they tried for a few years, and I enjoyed that a lot. And, you know, we'd light the menorah, and we'd do the whole thing. But then in later years, I mean, well, this is going to sound like a downer, but my mom passed away, and my dad remarried a non-Jewish woman. And she sort of, like, half-ass converted, but not fully, because who's going to go through that whole fucking thing?
I mean, really.
But her family were not Jewish, so we would spend every Christmas with her family. And so I kind of, like, had the best of both worlds. By the time I was 12, I was we were having Hanukkah at home and then Christmas at the in-laws, and it was
that's
pretty
totally
rad.
What I had, and I thought that that was perfect. And actually, I have these friends who are she's not Jewish. Her husband is. He was like, we are not doing Christmas in this house. So what they would do is when her parents would come visit for Christmas and they would like, you know, get some Airbnb and they would bring the Christmas tree there and then they would go over there. So that's how they managed it, which I thought was really, really smart.
You know what? That cracks me up because it reminds me of like my mom, my first mom, who was observant Jewish, and she wanted us to be kosher in the house, but like if we went outside the house it was fine, we could eat whatever we wanted. And like it got to the point where like if we had it on paper plates it was fine. Whatever we wanted. It's like that's like a weirdly Jewish thing. It's just sort of like let's follow the letter of the law, like,
or yeah we follow the letter of the law because at the end of the day it's not really that important.
It's like you're gonna have a cheeseburger, come on.
One of the things, though, that I found really irritating was, so my husband, his parents are from Hong Kong. He's Chinese. He grew up in South Carolina. It's weird.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on there. But his dad was not brought up with any kind of Christianity. His dad's a physicist and a severe atheist, just like my parents. And then his mom grew up Catholic, but she's ex-Catholic.
Okay.
So he never brought up Christmas. Never, never, never. And then after we were married, he's like, can we get a Christmas tree? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. And so we had this long conversation. He's like, but a Christmas tree isn't even Christian. It's pagan. And I was like, yeah, but at this point, it has been so absorbed by the Christians. There's like no way to have like a pagan tree, or is there?
I mean, there's nothing about decorating a tree that has anything to do with, you know, theology. It has nothing to do with Christ and salvation or whatever. But this is an interesting question. How do you explain to non-Jews or people who grew up in a Christian-dominated society, whether they are actually Christian or atheist or agnostic?
Right.
How do you explain to them how the Christmas tree is not ours? I recognize that it arises from a pagan tradition. Like, I had this argument with a friend who's a dear friend. We had this argument in college when we were roommates. And I was like, I don't have a Christmas tree. And that's because I'm not Christian. And she was like, I'm not Christian either. I'm an atheist. But I have a Christmas tree. And I was like, fine, but I don't because I'm not Christian. And this caused some tension because she was really like adamant about how like there is no religious content to a Christmas tree. There's no religious content to Santa and reindeer and presents and multicolored lights and most of the stuff we associate with Christmas. And she's technically correct. She's absolutely correct that that stuff does not come out of any kind of Christian faith. A lot of it comes from a pagan tradition. But despite all of that, and despite the fact that I am pretty much an atheist, I'm not a practicing Jew, I still am not comfortable with being like, I celebrate Christmas.
Because so many of those symbols have been so entirely absorbed into the Christmas, into the Christ Mass, that there's no way to separate them. And that's an argument that I had with my husband. I was like, you can't do that. Mm.
The Supreme Court separates them. Oh. The Supreme Court acknowledges that some Christmas displays are secular. You know, if you put up Frosty or even Santa, like, that's secular.
Okay, well, here's another question. How can you have these kind of Christmas celebrations in a land of climate change? I mean, like, because part of it is that, like, this is going to sound weird, but whenever I think of, like, a year, I get a picture in my head, and it's of sort of like a ring, like this sort of, like, circular shape of the year. Like, and I always feel where I am in that circle when I'm like getting through the year. Like June feels different than, you know, September or whatever.
Yeah.
And there is a way that the end of the year feels when the days are shorter and energy kind of drops. And there is that sort of pagan, pre-religious,
it's very pagan,
animistic. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that very much.
I totally agree.
But the symbols by which we can acknowledge that time have been so
co-opted
by this like American Christmas culture, by this Christ Mass culture.
Why don't we talk more about the war on Yule? The war on Yuletide, okay?
Yeah.
Because
that's right.
I'm sick of this Charlie Brown shit. It's like, oh, just remember it's about the birth of Christ. No. It's not about the birth of Christ. It's about the winter solstice and how you're just about to enter the coldest, darkest fucking time of the year.
That's
and right. Your bonfire, you have your little bit of fire that came from the bonfire, and it's only going to last so long. And your stores of grain are only going to last so long. And you're basically just like hoping against hope you're going to make it through to the spring so you can have your maypole shit. I used to be super into paganism.
Clearly. Woo, woo. No, I'm really, this is very exciting,
I
actually.
know.
I'm really
I just
like, woo.
I do love that shit. Like I like the seasonality of it, the connection to the earth and the changing seasons and the length of the
Totally.
days and
Totally.
the agrarian lifestyle too. That idea that like you did your harvest in November, you know, when you had
That's right.
not All Hallows, what actually is Samhain. You had Samhain, right? You celebrated your big harvest. And now is like the dark days. Now you're going to have to live off those stores, and there's going to be nothing growing, and it's going to be cold as shit. And like, you're going to, you know, you're finding ways to make it through that period to get to the springtime. I,
Also, you don't have electric light yet. So
right,
really,
right.
you're going to sleep at like 5 at night,
It's
and
going to
then
be
like
dark.
it's going to be dark early. You know, one of my favorite texts, there's this text, the Distaff Gospels, which was this like satiric text, is written by a man, but it's all we have. Where during those long nights, that's when women would like stay and sort of spin their thread and like leave, because these are these like long nights, and all the women would get together in somebody's house, and they would trade, and it was a time of flirtation. We're all indoors, we're hanging out with each other. This is what we're doing. And so there's this book where all of these women get together at that time of year and trade their sort of women's wisdom, and they ask this man to document it. And so it's all of these women being like, so if you don't want your husband to beat your child, slip some of your child's urine in his
Oh,
food
God, I
so that,
love that shit. I love that shit.
Well, also because for women, why are women magicians? Why are we witches? Because we don't have any actual power in society, so magic is all we fucking have. And why do we use brooms and cauldrons? Because it's what's in the fucking kitchen.
Okay. So I think we both agree that growing up Jewish, you know, you long for, you want to be part of the mainstream. You see the non-Jewish kids enjoying all the trappings of Christmas, and you're kind of like, oh, it's kind of a bummer that I can't take part in that. And yet you very deeply absorb this idea that that's not who I am and it's not what we do.
Yes.
And I feel like that's kind of indelible. And
Absolutely.
it's weird. Because I mean, I am an atheist and I kind of don't give a shit. And I've had Christmas trees. Like, look, okay, my freshman year in college, I had a, no, my sophomore year, I had a Christmas tree. Like, as soon as I was on my own, I bought like a 2-foot-tall tree and decorated it. 'Cause I was like, I'm free. I
I
finally
can
get to
do
do
whatever the fuck
this.
I want.
And for several years when Matt and I lived in New York, we had Christmas trees because it was, look, ultimately, a Christmas tree is an opportunity to decorate. It's design.
Well, we put up Christmas lights. There were Christmas lights that had a light setting that I really liked, with my friend Liz,
Oh,
Slow Glow.
you're a bad Jew. Look at
It's well, I was just getting high, and I wanted to like sit
you.
in the living room on my nice couch and watch the Slow Glow.
What is slow glow? What is that?
It's that setting on the Christmas lights where it goes from like red to blue to green. It's like, but it's slow, and it actually said on the settings like there's flashing and there's all and this, and then there's slow
There's
glow, and we're
multiple
like
settings. Yeah,
doing a slow glow.
these
We're
are the
into
things you find out as an adult Jew who's now allowed to have your own Christmas lights. You're like,
That's
oh
right.
shit, there's different settings.
Settings, yeah.
Yeah,
It's pretty exciting.
amazing,
Yeah.
amazing. Let's talk about what we really hate about Christmas. I want to start.
Please.
I don't understand the Santa thing.
Oh.
I just don't
Oh.
get it, okay? Forgive me. Forgive me, Goyim. But it just doesn't make sense to me. And I've asked people about this. What I mean by this, of course, is you lie to your children. You tell
Yes.
them that there is this gentleman who lives on the North Pole and he brings them presents and that they have to be good they have to be nice so they can get presents if they're naughty.
Or else.
Yeah. And you go to great lengths, I've noticed, to preserve the lie and keep them from learning the truth and feel like it would be a disservice to the children if you allowed them to find out the truth. And I have a lot of trouble with it. And let me be clear about why. Number one, this is my number one reason. I don't understand why it's better for kids to believe that there's this magical fat old white guy who brings them presents because they were nice, rather than just believing that the people who love them bought them things because they cared about them. Like, I'm just not clear on that one. Number two, the behavior manipulation bullshit. The elf on the shelf, which I'm
watching
sorry.
You. Yeah. Watching you.
Like, this, like, surveillance. They're watching you. And, I mean, this runs deep because as an educator, as a former teacher, I've thought a lot about how to manage children's behavior and get them to do what is best for them.
What is okay. best
for them, which also happens to be what I want. There's this question of like, well, do I hang incentives over their heads and then reward them when they do well? And those sort of external incentives, you know, short term can be useful, but like I generally try to avoid them because you want the incentives to be internal.
That's right.
You want the child to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. You want them to work hard in school because they actually want to learn.
And we really, really save bribing for when we really need it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, save we try it. To, like, don't bribe all the time. Don't make everything be that kind of, like, payment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you dole it out too quick, then they'll want to bribe for everything, right?
That's right.
You got to save the bribes.
In my house, when our child was, like, little, when our seven-year-old mm-hmm. was, like, really little, we're like, at my husband's Christmas party, we're like, that's the man who's dressed up as Santa. Like he knows that we're the tooth fairy. Like, he'll come to our room and be like, you forgot to do the tooth fairy last night. Like, there's no pretense to it at all. And I was talking to this other mom who's like, yeah, it's hard because it's like, okay, the tooth fairy's real, but vampires aren't. Right. And I was like, wow, that's really tricky because you're trying to say, like, no, bats are not going to come suck your blood. However, Santa is real. How's a kid expected to, like, separate those things?
Here's a good one I heard. A friend of my sister's was telling about her, soon-to-be stepson or stepdaughter who asked about how Santa was real, but Jesus, no, Santa was fake, but Jesus is real.
Oh.
And how do you explain that? And I was like, I don't know, honey. You tell me how you explain that.
Oh, my God.
Like, at some point, you're going to have to tell your kid it's fake. That's the other thing. This is the third thing that drives me fucking nuts about the Santa thing. Is like, at some point, you have to go face to face with your kid and be like, yeah, I lied to you all this time. And none of it is true.
I would like everybody to go to This American Life's website and go to the story that I did, I think in 2013.
No kidding.
About friends of mine who grew up with parents who were really invested in making Santa and Christmas magic, like, really real, like, so real that they believed in Santa for way longer than is appropriate for any kid to believe in Santa. Like, I'm talking about junior high school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they made it real. And like, he was like, no, I met him. And it's a really amazing story about the pitfalls of trying to make magic real for your children.
My sister, whom I recently mentioned, with her three kids, they live in San Antonio, Texas. And a few years ago, when my youngest niece was like, I don't know, seven, let's say, she told all her friends that Santa's not real. And, oh boy, did my sister get some angry phone calls.
So we've had to talk to Ziv about that, about how, like, Santa isn't real, but, like, don't spoil it for your friends. There's no such thing as God, but, you know,
don't spoil it for your friends.
remember, behave yourselves. Because Santa can still look into his magic snowball and see just what you're up to. And now that you know all about him, you can be darn sure that come snow or high water,
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah, the Santa thing is super fucked, but also one thing that I find super fucked about Christmas, if we're going to really get into why it's stupid, is that all of a sudden people are like, now it's a time for us to like be nice and give charity to people. Like, why this time of the year and no other time of the year? Right. Why do we do it once a year?
It's like the once
what
a year
is
thing.
That? It's the once a year thing. Like, let's not integrate homeless people's needs or women's shelters' needs into like our daily life. Let's wait till the end of the year when maybe we're like, oh yeah, I want to have something that I can deduct on my taxes.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. It would be a beautiful thing if people would incorporate service and giving into every month of the year. And I don't know why that's so fucking hard to do. But, I mean, that said, are you really going to, like, criticize people for at least doing it on Christmas or in Christmas time?
Yes. I am.
Yeah, you're
I
like,
am.
Fuck you. Do it all year.
Do it all year. That's it. Yeah.
You know, the whole goodwill toward men kind of thing. There should be goodwill all year round.
Right. But we're going to have goodwill because this is what we're told to do once a year.
Yeah.
So that, like, come January, we're just going to be monsters again. Like, ugh.
What do you like about Christmas? What do you love about Christmas? There must be some things that you love.
All right. I love Christmas lights. And what I love more than anything is to – I have really bad eyesight because I'm this – product of Ashkenazi Jewry, so I'm really genetically quite poor. So what I like to do is take my contact lenses out and put on my glasses and then go walk around, look at Christmas lights and take my glasses off, and they're really blurry. It's really one of the best times. It's where my blindness really, you know, steps up for me.
I envy your subpar eyesight. I have perfect vision. I have to squint in order to experience what you can naturally.
Oh, it's really pleasurable.
Without effort. I love the Dickens Christmas Carol and all adaptations of it. Not all equally. I don't love them all equally. But I'm kind of obsessed with the Christmas Carol. I wrote an essay about it in grad school.
Can you say a little more about just to give me a flavor of like what it is?
First of all, one of the things that I deeply appreciate about Dickens' Christmas Carol is that it's completely secular. There is no shit in there about Jesus or God or anything like that.
Okay.
It's straight up like the message of Christmas is be cool.
Yeah.
The message of Christmas is be generous, have fun. I'm into that. I'm into that kind of secular Christmas. Like, I can get down with that. So that's one reason I like it. Second reason I like it is the detailed descriptions of food.
Oh,
Victorian feasts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm super into Victorian feasts. Just like, I don't know, oranges with cloves stuck in them. When the Ghost of Christmas Present opens up his robe and reveals the feast and Dickens describes it, and you're just like, what I wouldn't give. I mean, I'm sure it's crap. It's England. It's English food. It couldn't even be good. The way he describes it, I'm super into like the Victorian Christmas feast idea. I'm also very, very fascinated by how much America is fascinated by A Christmas Carol.
Right. Like,
there are so many adaptations. And that was the essence of my essay. It was like, why does America love this story so much? Like, what is it telling us? What is it reinforcing that people just want to hear over and over again in every version? Like Mr. Magoo and Mickey Mouse, like everybody has a version.
And Scrooged and like whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Scrooged is one of my personal favorites.
I think what's crazy about that is that the kind of tight-fistedness and then the shift in generosity Mm-hmm. What does that say about Americans' A, redemption narratives, and B, this sort of weird convulsion of not wanting to like help their fellow man?
Yeah.
Like, we're in this political moment where it's like, insurance, I'm supposed to pay in case somebody else gets sick. Like,
Scrooge even says, are there not poor houses? You know, like he.
Right.
He makes explicit reference to the idea that, like, I pay my taxes and there's places for poor people to go. So what the fuck more do you want?
So go to them. Right.
But I also think that Americans are remarkably good at making a distinction, like making this separation between the idea of charity and giving and taxes.
Yes.
What you pay in taxes is this horrible burden from this government that's trying to steal from you.
Right.
You should have control and be allowed to give charitably as you see fit. And like, oh my God. I mean, like folded into that are all kinds of ideas about like who's deserving of your charity.
And well, that's what I was about to say. And that weird way in which particularly Republicans are so bad at imagining what a just basic empathy, where it's like all these Republicans who are like, they hate gay people, and then their kid comes out and they're like, you know what? Gay people are just people and they should be allowed to get married. And you're like, okay, why were you not allowed to get there?
Because they can't do that. They can't make that leap.
Imagination. But that's the same sort of thing where it's like that leap seems very, very hard. The kind of generosity that we're asking, or that the whole Christmas Carol story provides, like, look at all the people around you in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Although that's one of the things I like about the movie Scrooged. His assistant is African-American woman, and Ghost of Christmas Present takes him to play by Carol Kane, by the way, who's amazing.
Yes, I remember. She's the best.
She's great. Takes him to her home and in Harlem. And there's just this little, it's not heavy handed, but there's this little touch of like, yes, there is a racial class element here.
Right.
There is a whole underclass. There is a whole world of people who are living differently than you are, and it has to do with the color of their skin. But we're not going to hit you over the head with it, but we're just going to show you this.
Just put it there. Totally.
I think Scrooged is amazing. I love that movie. But just generally speaking, I like that sort of general redemption narrative.
Hey, that's The Grinch is absolutely a Scrooge story. And gotta love The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
There's something you love about Christmas. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, you have to love Christmas Story. That's just a classic.
Oh my God, I love that.
And you have to love that movie because it's great and it's hilarious. And even as a child, I appreciated how this sort of idiosyncratic kind of dumb white people like suburban world that it's painting. But I also have to just a little shout out to the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stop animation special.
Okay, yeah.
From the like '60s stop motion special. And the Island of Misfit Toys.
Right? The Island of Misfit Toys.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the Box.
Right? But remember the little dollies? The little dollies?
Yeah.
Like, what was wrong with her?
Like, yeah, what's wrong with the doll? And my friend Nikki and I talk about this all the time because it cuts to them. They all say what's wrong with them. Like, nobody wants a little gun that shoots grape jelly. And then they just cut to the doll and they never say anything. It's just, you're just supposed to know that something terrible happened.
What's wrong with her?
What's wrong with the fucking doll? Absolutely. We all had this experience. I mean, it's things like that, those sort of like shared cultural markers that are very pleasurable. But one thing I noticed is that because I just don't watch TV anymore and I'm like totally disconnected, like All I Want for Christmas Is You, like that's become a thing. That's enough of a thing. That's like now a classic. That is like, I missed that whole thing.
So We'll talk briefly, because we got to wrap this up. This is not a mini-sode anymore. We're in a completely full-length episode, which is fine. Listeners, you're welcome. We intended to give you like a 10-minute mini-sode, but here we are. So, Christmas songs. Just briefly, number one, a great number of Christmas classics are written by Jews.
Yes.
Which is... it's almost not even worth mentioning at this point because everybody knows it. And it's like, yeah, sure. But like, I feel like that's worth revisiting because I feel like it goes back to the idea of secularism versus religiosity and what Christmas is in America. And this idea that Jews could just be like, I get this. I get this better than you do. And yeah. I can put it just into lyrics and music.
Move aside. Yeah.
We got this. The Christmas song that I really do hate is the one, I don't know, is it Live Aid? I don't know. It's for a good cause, but it's the one, like, do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Yeah.
Feed the world, let them know it's Christmas time. And it's like, it's so Eurocentric, so cringy, and people still play it. I can't believe that hasn't been retired, because I don't even know where to start with this. There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas. Like, this is some kind of fucking tragedy. It's like, it doesn't snow in Africa. It's fine. They're fine. They don't need snow.
they don't need snow.
They don't need it. And maybe this isn't from growing up Jewish, but from growing up in San Diego, but it's like, they don't need snow.
Yeah, like, we're fine.
We're fine.
We have our California Christmas-themed sweaters that they, like, sell in the mall so we can feel like we're wearing warm clothes. And then you move to the East Coast and you're like, these don't do shit.
Right? It's like, oh, sweaters have to have sleeves? Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. But then, like, do they know it's Christmas time at all?
At all.
Like, first of all, maybe they don't because they're not Christian.
Right.
Have you thought about that? Have you considered that possibility?
Yep.
That song, I'm like, I can't believe this one hasn't been retired.
I'm just so angry that they're not following the rules of sort of putting the Christmas stuff out after Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Like, the way that it's like crept up, that makes me really upset, and it makes me unable to enjoy the holiday season, as it is not limited anymore. Like, so this song is really done.
The War on Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It totally is.
The Christmas shit comes out in October. When the Christmas shit comes out before Halloween, that's the War on Halloween. Fuck that shit. And like, speaking of paganism, like, Samhain, that's our big day, okay?
Yeah.
Don't fuck with that.
Yes.
But the rules are, you put your Christmas decorations up the day after Thanksgiving and you take them down the day after New Year's, okay? That's January 2nd.
That's it, guys.
I'll loosen it up to like January 5th. But if you still got your Christmas shit up on January 6th, I'm looking down on you, okay? I'm looking down on you. The same applies to Halloween. If you still have your Halloween shit up on, you know, November 5th, I'm frowning at you. I just feel really bad for Thanksgiving, and we need to commercialize it because it's disappearing. But yeah, I'm super pedantic about the rules about when you can put up and take down decorations.
Totally.
And
I'm the same way. I think it's also part of this thing where it's like, we had to learn the rules as outsiders. So how dare you guys not fucking follow them?
How do you not follow your own goddamn rules?
These are your rules. Yeah. These are your fucking rules.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to go to my kid's school for some like winter recital where they're going to sing Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Which, I'm resentful about that. But in general, I feel like Christmas can do its own thing. What I am excited about is a lot of the nice, fancy houses in my neighborhood put up big lights.
Yeah, there's a lot of lights.
I
love the lights.
You can't not love the lights.
They're so pretty to look at.
That's it. And there won't be snow. I think we've done enough Christmas ruining for you.
I hope we ruined Christmas sufficiently. I know it's difficult to ruin because it's got a lot of cultural cachet. But we did what we could. Gather around your pagan decorated tree.
Celebrate your Yule.
Celebrate the Yuletide, the change of the seasons, the onset of the dark times, which is what we really are commemorating.
That's right.
And think of us. You can get in contact with us and let us know what you love and hate about Christmas. I'd especially love to hear from people who are neither Christian nor Jewish. And I don't mean you fucking atheists who came from like a Christian background. I mean like Muslims.
Yes.
And Hindu people, like
Zoroastrians.
Are there Zoroastrians that listen to us? Because I'd be super into hearing from you. If you grew up with a different religious tradition and have a take on all of this, we'd love to hear from you. If not, either way, we'd love to hear your opinions. You can reach us at email saucepodcast@gmail.com, Twitter, we're at saucepodcast. You can find me on Twitter as @gynostar.
You can find me as at Maya Garance. And you can find me at my website, mayagarance.com.
Super easy. It's her name.
Yeah. So simple.
Have a wonderful holiday season. Do whatever you can to fight the war on Christmas.
We're the army. We all believe in you.
Yeah. We are soldiers in this war. It is not a literal war. We do not advocate that guy who blew up the subway or whatever because he didn't want the Christmas decorations. We do not advocate violence in the war on Christmas. It's a metaphorical war.
Well, it's a war for people's hearts and minds.
Exactly.
And I think we can, I think it might be a lost cause, but I believe in us. I think we could do it.
I think we can destroy Christmas if we try hard enough.
That's right. All right, see you guys in the new year.
Happy holidays.